Love your enemies. It's a hard kind of thing to do. Do you have an enemy that kind of comes to mind? Maybe it was a bully at school, one of your neighbors that likes those loud late night parties. Maybe it's just a colleague or a relative, somebody that we just really struggle to love. It's just that really difficult thing to conjure up the best kinds of thoughts for them. So, have you got someone in mind for who that might be? Maybe it's a world figure. Maybe it's a certain politician, or it's somebody that just seems to be causing all kinds of chaos at the moment. Okay, so imagine the scenario that King Charles has written a decree saying that whatever you do to that person, there are going to be no consequences whatsoever. And in fact, you come across this old scroll in scripture that also gives you a get out of jail card for heaven as well. So there's going to be no eternal consequences no matter what you might do to that person. What might you do? Have you ever gone through that kind of scenario in your head, kind of pondering over that person that is just driving you absolutely batty and kind of imagining the scenario as to what might unfold if you were given the chance? Okay, let's shift it somewhat. And let's now imagine for yourself the very best of what you might receive. You know, what might that look like if somebody just lavished this absolute affection and delight upon you? You were able to have the most incredible day ever. Okay, so we got that in mind now of what that might feel like to have the most incredible day. Okay, now imagine that enemy of yours, and you have the chance not to seek revenge or any kind of vengeance or any kind of hatred, but you're able to now foster upon them that very most amazing and beautiful and delightful day. You know, would you be able to love them in that way? And note the invitation that Jesus gives us is there's three different words that we have in the Greek language that the New Testament is written in for the word love. And almost all of the occasions of the word love are not describing something, a noun, it's describing an action, it's a verb. And we have eros, which is the love between partners, it's the love of physically expression and affection and erotic love, of course. We have the love of friends, we have philia, which is that when you have that warm, kind of tender feeling towards the people that are there in your life, and you just delight in their presence, and there is that joy and wonder that you're evoked. It's not that love that is described here. It's the third kind of love, which is more the act of the will. Agape is the love where we make that choice to will the good of the other simply as an other, to want the very best for them, to want their full human flourishing. But it doesn't come easily, and that's why in this part of the Sermon on the Plain, which is much shorter than the Sermon on the Mountain or the Sermon on the Hill that we get in the Gospel of Matthew, there it takes three chapters. It's 111 verses in total. But here it all fits within the sixth chapter because it's only the 31 verses that we have here in Luke's Gospel, and full of these pithy little sayings of Jesus that try and explain and unpack how we actually progress into this space of forgiveness and mercy, how we're able to let go of those old resentments, how we're let go of those past hurts. And part of that mind experiment that I began with is part of that process of kind of imagining the very worst possible situation, but then trying to reverse it, trying to extend to that other person the very best that we want for ourselves. So that's the significance of treating others as you would like to be treated yourself. That positive expression of that desire that we have. And at the end of the reading today, we get this beautiful expression of Jesus to be compassionate, just as the Father is compassionate. We know in the Hebrew original, and it's also the case in the Aramaic that Jesus most likely spoke, that the word compassion is very similar to the word for womb. So to have compassion for someone is to have the same tenderness that a mother has for the young child that is growing within her womb. You know, just as she does everything to make sure that that little baby is protected, just making sure that that little child receives the very best in everything. And so God has that same desire for us to take care of us, to tenderly care for us, to make sure that we experience the full flourishing of life. And it's that that we're invited into this experience, to be compassionate, just as the Father has been compassionate to us. But then he goes on to give us even further reminders of how we might be compassionate to one another within the world. And just as the golden rule applies first to us, that we need to love our neighbor as ourselves, well, so also we need to receive that compassion. We need to receive that non-judgment. We need to receive that mercy first so that we're able to give. And Jesus then gives us that guidance. Well, you will give so that you can receive. And how will we grow in that? And he tells us that the measure with which you measure is a way in which you will receive. And he tells us that God is going to give us this full measure. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing will be poured into your lap. You know, God is wanting us to grow in our capacity to love, to grow in our desire for God. But we need to expand that by that practice. We need to practice forgiveness. We need to practice receiving so that we can indeed give. You know, all of this is this cycle. And as we grow in our capacity to receive love, we grow also in our capacity to give love. St. Thérèse of Lisieux, when she was coming towards the end of her life, was kind of pondering what might happen when she died and went to heaven. And she was kind of asking this question of the Lord as to how, you know, would she receive that fullness? Because she knew that God was going to fill her to the absolute brim. She had that profound sense of this teaching. But she also kind of realized that there were other people in her life that weren't quite as open to God as she was. But then she realized that, you know, even if our capacity for love was as tiny as a little thimble, that God would fill that thimble full. If we'd grown our capacity to the size of a teacup, that God would fill that cup full. If we'd grown it to the size of a bowl, that God would fill that full. If it was a bucket, God would fill it full. If we'd grown our capacity to love to the size of a swimming pool, that God would fill that full, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. God longs for us to grow in our desire. God longs for us to grow in our ability to be compassionate to ourselves and to others. God longs for us to be able to be givers. But for that, we need to receive and then practice that gift of giving to those around us. This is a challenging reading because it invites us into these deep experiences where we know that revenge and hatred and all those things that we so often see on the front pages of our newspapers, as other leaders around the world continue to espouse these things that are dead ends. They don't encourage us to grow. Instead, we are invited into this deep surrender to acknowledge our hurts, to acknowledge what's happened in the past, but to pray for mercy, to pray for compassion, to pray for forgiveness so that we can be the children who share the gifts among us. And remember that God is longing to fill us and whatever capacity we have to grow that so that we can receive even more of his grace and goodness, pressed down, shaken together and overflowing so that we can share that with those around us.